one could remember the promise he made that he'd lay his life down, but in just 3 days the brave would surrender in total defeat, yet death would be swallowed up in victory. Savior died on a cross. Saturday it seemed like all hope was lost.
Is Easter when it comes to celebrating the resurrected Lord. Amen. And I want to say this morning that he's still alive since Easter. Yes. And he liveth to make intercession for each and every one of us. And I want to say that we're glad to see you this morning and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And I don't know about you, but we've come to worship this morning. Yes. And come to worship and honor the Lord to see what he has for us this morning in the service. We maintain the same conclusion every time we come to church. My same conclusion, I maintain it, and I know that you do as well when you hear what I'm about to say. That each and every service is an opportunity to hear from heaven, to do business with the Lord. He wants to say something. Each and every service is handcrafted from the Master, tailor-made for you, and tailor-made for myself. Last Sunday morning, we talked about that this is the day, and I added a little tag on that. This is the day that, and my main emphasis last Sunday morning was that the Lord has handcrafted each and every day, and it's our responsibility to open it up to see what he may have. And I want to ask the same question this Sunday as I did last Sunday. Last Sunday, this is the day that. And I challenged all of us to do what we feel like the Lord would have us to do last Sunday, whatever that may be. The same thing this Sunday. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So seeing that this is the day, what does God want us to do today? How does God want us to worship today? Does God want us to respond to the message today? Does he want us to respond to the music with the message? This is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing in that, and we plan on doing business with the Lord, and I hope you are this morning. So welcome to Calvary. I want to mention a few prayer requests. First of all, let me say this before we get into some prayer requests, some urgent needs, that yesterday was our VBS community outreach, and got a few pictures thrown up there on the screen for you to view. I want to say thank you for those that came. We went down to Ponderosa Lane and handed out some flyers, and one particular family we visited, and they have 5 to 10 kids that hopefully will be coming during VBS. And we were on the Comet Trail. We were at the gas station. We were at the new homes here called the Enclave. We were everywhere yesterday in a small amount of time. And so I want to thank those that came. Thank you that donated bottled waters to hand out with the invitations. It was a definite blessing to be able to give a gift and an invite at the same time. And for further information about our VBS, we have flyers down front here. And so you can pick one of those up. Of course, it's in your church bulletin as well. And so grab a bulletin in the back. It's on my side here with all that information is within your bulletin. And so thank you for that. Please continue to remember Miss Barbara Ann in your prayers. She is still at Emory Midtown under the care of the doctors there. I believe she's still in ICU. She is off the ventilator. She was on the ventilator. She got off the ventilator. She's back on the ventilator. And they're making plans of having surgery tentatively Monday for a heart defibrillator to keep her heart in rhythm and to shock it when it wants to quit on her. Her heart has quit so many times, I would just say in the past couple to 3 weeks, numerous amounts of time. And let me just say this. That goes to show you when God's not ready, He's not ready. He will keep that heart pumping and keep that heart moving. But do pray for her. Pray for Miss Barbara Anderson as she helps with her. We have a lengthy prayer wall in our bulletin, a prayer sheet. Just request, different requests came in this morning as we were coming in. But Catherine Plemons, Brother Ceylon, Catherine's mother, continue to remember her. Don Nettles has some issues going on with his stomach, but he's here this morning, but he's been down for a few days. I do want to mention a special prayer for the Snow family. This is a family where they had a very bad, tragic accident. Their 13-year-old daughter passed away due to an ATV four-wheeler accident, and that happened, I guess, about a week ago it was. Miss Tammy tells me, but do remember the family as they move forward, as they pick up the pieces and move forward. Remember that family, the Snow family. And again, many other requests, but it's good to see Brother Harold Doff with us this morning, and he's had some things he's been battling. And I told him this morning, I said, Brother, I said, you have been prayed for, and love Brother Harold. I'm glad he's here. Able to be here this morning, and again, we have so many people that are either hospitalized, out of the hospital, at home recovering, here this morning, still don't feel well, but are here. So, just want you to know that you're being prayed for, and we love you, each and every one of you. And let me go ahead and I know I welcomed everyone already in the visitors and all. At least I think I did. But if not, do we have any first-time visitors this morning? If this is your first, okay, all right. We have two in the front row, and so if some of our men can get a visitor's card down to them, that'll be wonderful. Welcome. You're our honored guest this morning. Make yourself at home and just fill that out. We can keep a record of your visit. Put it in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'll appreciate that. And we do have others visiting with us, and welcome back. We value your presence this morning. All right, well, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and let's let go and let God, and let's breathe. And we went through everything we went through this morning, whatever it is you went through, to get here. From the moment you got up to picking out what you're going to wear to making sure your hair and makeup's done, we're here. Let's give God the rightful time that He deserves to minister to us. Heavenly Father, we come. No other name but Jesus' name, and we're thankful and grateful, Lord, at the crowd we have this morning here at Calvary. Father, I pray that you would minister to each and every heart, every life. Lord, we're thankful for our visitors this morning, God. We pray that They already have felt your presence. But Father, I pray that all of us, Lord, would hear from heaven this morning, that you would show us, Lord, the path of life, God, that you would direct our steps each and every day. Father, I feel as though that I'm sure there's not one person in here that doesn't want your best. But I'm sure that there's not one person in here that doesn't want to know what you have for them and want your best. And so therefore, Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would show your next step in their life, God, that you would speak to their hearts. Father, we lift up all these requests to you this morning. We pray, Lord, for those that are hospitalized and sick. We pray for the shut-ins. We pray for those who have lost loved ones as of late. God, we pray that you would strengthen them and give them that all-sufficient grace in their time of need. I do pray a special prayer of the Snow family, Lord. I could not imagine experiencing what they're experiencing right now. We pray that you would intervene, that you would give the grace to pick up the pieces and give them to you, Lord, and that you would help them day by day go through life. We love you, Father. We thank you for who you are and for what you do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Everyone sing now. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all we'll sing and shout on the last. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all, oh, sing it again, choir, sing the chorus. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. That's great singing this morning. Amen. So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And again, if you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. And we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. What a great day. And please remember the service this evening, 6 o'clock. Choir practice today at 5, and we're going to, a couple of us are going to come a little early. We're working on a brand new song, so you'll be much in prayer for the choir. And I know we pulled out an Easter song on you this morning. You don't have to tell us. That's a great song. Amen. And come Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for that. You can sing Easter songs every Sunday. Every Sunday morning's Easter for the child of God. Amen. We're celebrating our resurrected Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's great to see you here this morning. And please remember, of course, on Wednesday evening, Bible study and prayer meeting at 7. If you can be here on Wednesday, it's a great blessing. So, but please remember, tonight is at 6 o'clock. Remember all the prayer requests. We have so many people who are going through so much. And I'm glad to know that God knows all about each one. Amen? We may have forgotten them, but God doesn't. He knows about each one. And we're thankful that we can take those to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to do that again here in just a few moments. But please remember each one in prayer this morning and through the week, and just lift those up as God brings those to your mind. And let's pray for one another. We live in a time where we just need to lift one another up in prayer. Amen. Brother Harold, it's good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. I know you've been through much, and it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering as well as on the prayer request this morning. Yes. Also, please don't forget the sign-up sheet. How many books are we at now? 89. Amen. We're just 11 books away from that target. Amen. 11 books away from 100. Amen. The Lord's been good, and we're excited about it. And so please see the sign-up sheet if you want to send that to someone else, if you've already gotten your copy on the book of the Revelation. But we praise the Lord for that. And but the sign-up sheet down front for that. Anything else at all? Please make Vacation Bible School a matter of prayer. Amen? And we're looking forward to children being saved that week. That's what Vacation Bible School is all about. A young person coming to know the Lord. A great turnout yesterday, and we praise the Lord for that. And God's doing great things here at Calvary, and we're excited about it. Amen? He is worthy to be praised. That's the reason that we're here this morning. And we're just excited about what the Lord has for us. Are you going to pray for Pastor this morning? Amen. We're looking forward to what the Lord has for us through the Word of God. Let's ask God's blessing on the offering, on the service this morning. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, the health, and the strength, and the desire that we have to be in the house of God on this, the Lord's day. Lord, what a beautiful day you've made for us. This is a day that you've made, and we will rejoice, Lord, and be glad in it. Lord, we've heard many, many prayer requests already here this morning. Some, Lord, that we have not even mentioned. Lord, and there are so many that just stand in need of prayer today. Some physically, some emotionally, some spiritually, some financially. Lord, the list goes on and on. But, Lord, we're glad to know that you know all about them. Lord, even before we mention them, Lord, I'm thankful this morning that we can bring them all and just leave them at your feet and know, Lord, that we would just entrust them to you for your will and your way to be accomplished, Lord. Not our will, but yours be done. Be our prayer. Lord, we want to leave those with you this morning so that now we can come into this place and corporately and even individually this morning worship you and praise you. Lord, that is the reason that we're here. And Lord, this morning we would ask you that you would touch our pastor and speak through him. Lord, that we need to hear. We know that you have given him your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would now open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And Lord, as we do receive it, Lord, may we act upon it. And Lord, maybe we need to come to the altar. Lord, maybe we need to kneel right where we are today and just do business with you, that when we leave this place, we can say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we can leave maybe, Lord, a little bit closer to you than when we came in. Lord, would you now take the offering and bless both the gift and the giver? You know exactly what is needed financially here at Calvary. Lord, that the work would go on here at Calvary, that people would be saved, that the church would be, Lord, strengthened. Lord, that the body would be lifted up. You know what we need. Lord, our prayer would be that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would receive honor and glory and the worship and praise that you are due today. And we'll praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished. Our prayer would be that someone would accept you as their personal Savior in this place today before we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.
alone, sight unknown. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand. I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. Oh, but the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees
as I face the raging sea.
The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Now I have been young, but I'm older now. There has been beauty these eyes have seen. When my God, He proved His love for me. And the anchor still holds, though the ship may be battered. Oh, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
I think it's evident when the Lord shows up. And appreciate the Lord and His presence. Appreciate your presence being here this morning. Glad that the anchor holds. Sometimes in life, there's times where we feel as though we have the rope. And then there's those times when we know it's pure God that has the rope. Both occasions, we know He has the rope, but sometimes we feel good, and sometimes we don't feel good about life and the experiences we're going through. But regardless, the Lord is holding our rope. He is the anchor, and we appreciate that far more than words could express. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? I'm glad that God doesn't view me the way I view me. I wasn't given me any more opportunities to live the Christian life after my first fumble and some 16 years ago. But the Lord, as He looked upon Gideon, looks upon us, said, "Thou mighty man of valor." This morning we are a bunch of mighty men and women of valor. Whether you think you are or not, you are. This isn't the sermon this morning. This is just a prerequisite. Gideon was experiencing a time of fear. He was threshing wheat by the wine press. And that was supposed to take place on the threshing floor. Midianites had besieged the land and taken all of their resources. Gideon was in a place of seclusion and he was experiencing fear, anxiety and worry. Then the Lord paid him a visit and said, "Gideon, thou mighty man." I'm sure Gideon must have said within himself. In fact, he did express that he was the least in his father's house. And Lord, who you calling mighty? This morning I want us all to just be reminded that it's not how we view ourselves, it's how God views us. And that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Anything God wants you to do, you can do through Him. And if God doesn't want you doing something, He will not enable you to do it. It will seem like it's just work. It's just leaning on the flesh. But if God has called you to do something, He'll do it. We appreciate the Lord this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. This is going to be our starting point for the message this morning. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. And we're going to use this verse as a launching pad for the message this morning. And so we want to look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we're going to read this one familiar verse. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord, the name that's above every name, we pray, Lord, that You would continue to touch things this morning. We know that You are ministering through the Holy Spirit, Lord. We know You're working. I pray that, Father, that You would use me, help me get out of the way, Lord, and that You would guide my tongue, God, and that You would touch my mind, quicken my spiritual thinking, give me physical strength and spiritual power, Lord, to impart the gospel to Your people. Father, we'll be careful to praise You and thank You for everything, because You are worthy, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Galatians chapter number 6, notice if you would, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Wrapped up within this one verse, we have a certain law in the Scriptures. And that law is, it's called the law of retribution. The word retribution simply means payback. And if you notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That's payback. That's retribution. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There's a law here in this chapter, the law of retribution. If I had a basketball, and let's just say, for instance, this wall right here, if I were to throw that basketball or any kind of ball against that wall, there is a law there that that ball will come back to me. I bounce it, and because of the law of physics and nature, it will come right back to me. And in verse number 8, Paul differentiates that there are two kinds of paybacks. Number one, he says that there is the payback of the flesh, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." In another place in the Bible, in one of the Gospels, I believe it's Matthew, after Jesus was commissioning the 12 disciples, he told them to bring nothing on their journey except, he mentioned a purse, satchel. But one thing he did exclude, he said, don't take a sword with you. He said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. I want to say this morning that when it comes to the flesh, there is a law of retribution. We have in our world today those who are living by guns and dying by guns. And let me say this about guns, those who do not have a healthy respect for guns, they're shooting one another and taking one another's lives, and ultimately, many times, they will die the same way, or at least they'll live a life of violence because that's what they're wrapped up in. Someone who is consumed with, let's just use for the example, in the sake of time, alcohol. A person who drinks alcohol will eventually have liver cancer. That's the way that it goes. A person who smokes their entire life will eventually have lung cancer. But that surpasses, it doesn't even touch the realm of the law of retribution concerning the flesh, because the spectrum's so wide. It can be small things. If you've noticed or have heard about, had loved ones in the nursing home or a hospital room, they have to be turned so often if they're bedridden because they'll have bed sores and things along those lines. They have to be turned. There's a law there. If you stay in one place such as that, eventually pain and bruising will be involved. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." So it's a wide spectrum of payback when it comes to the flesh. Then he says in verse number 8, "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, we know that the plan of salvation is one transaction. We call out to Jesus, we acknowledge we're a sinner, we acknowledge what He did upon the cross and His virtuous life, and that He gave His life and He died and He rose again on the third day. We accept that. A transaction's been made. We received His righteousness, and He assumed our unrighteousness. He paid a debt we could not pay. And so, therefore, we are made righteous. We are now on the roll call of heaven, and we're going to heaven when we die. But the life that we continue to live is a life of sowing and reaping. And there's the sowing to the flesh, but then there's the sowing to the Spirit. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We know we already have everlasting life, but to have life, A Christian life where our joy is full and we have purpose and we have meaning in life and we have drive and we have passion, that will be the product of sowing to the Spirit, following the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit to the best we can. We're not always successful at that, but our aim, our bullseye is to please Jesus. And so therefore we go after Him and we sow to the Spirit. And what you'll find out after sowing to the Spirit, there will be some fruit to come up. There will be joy and peace and patience, and you'll find yourself being stretched in your patience area longer than you thought you would, because you're yielding and you're trusting and you're obeying. It's the law of retribution. And then we get to our text verse. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Why, Paul? Why are we to not be weary in well-doing? He says, "Because for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, I believe that when we get to heaven, there will be reward or loss of reward. There's reaping then. But also, I believe while we're here on earth, there's some reaping. There can be a little bit of heaven on earth, you know. We don't have to wait till we go to heaven to enjoy heavenly things. We can experience these things now. So this morning, I want to take that verse, verse number 9. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I want to take that verse. I want to preach a moment on this subject, a work worthwhile. A work worthwhile. And I want to do something a little different with this message. I want to actually take a Bible character and use for an example of a work that he did that was worthwhile, and how that there was a reward attached to that work, because we know the law of sowing and reaping proves that out. And the character is that of Noah. Noah. Now, I've preached on Noah quite a few times, and there's so many other Bible characters to share this morning, but I do want to mention some things about Noah. And the things I want to mention about Noah this morning, I want to use Noah and his call. The moment that he started the construction upon the ark, and he made his decision he was going to stay with it. And all of the years that he spent staying with it, how that he knew at the end it was worth it. In fact, when he stepped off of that ark on dry ground and it was just his family to repopulate the world, he knew it was worth it. I want to say that's the law of retribution. That is sowing to the Spirit. This morning, again, I want to use him and talk about the work that he did and how that he stayed with it and he continued, although it got hard and although there were times of fatigue, he stayed with it and there was reward attached to it. Hebrews chapter number 6, I want you to notice in verse 11, just listen, I'll give it to you. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." I want to say this morning that it's rewarding following Jesus. We're not following Jesus for the reward, but we are following Jesus because we desire to follow Jesus, and just so happens there's reward attached to it. I want to say that the Lord meets our needs this morning. If you make your centerpiece in life serving God and loving Him and being faithful to His house and being faithful to fellowship with His people, God will take care of you. In fact, I like what Miss Darlene said last Sunday, I believe it was. God will supply all of our needs, and sometimes He'll even give us what we want. Because when our desires are lined up and He's our centerpiece, God will birth desires to even want things. God has a way of making all things abound unto us. So this morning, I want to mention some things. When it comes to Noah and his work that he labored on this ark. And of course, I want to use Noah as an example of Galatians 6:9. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so if you would, turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 6 for a moment. Genesis chapter number 6. And first of all, when it comes to Noah, how Noah stayed with it. No doubt there were times of fatigue and discouragement, but he stayed with it and he reaped the reward of it. Number one, I want to call attention to the fact that the work that Noah was undergoing was a work that wasn't common. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 14. I'm sorry. Genesis 6. Same beginning letter. Genesis 6 and verse 14. This was a work that wasn't common that Noah was undergoing. Notice how the text starts in verse 14. The Lord says, make thee an ark. Noah, I want you to make an ark. And do know in the context and flow of chapter number 6 that the Lord is getting ready to pour out His wrath. He's getting ready to destroy man from the face of the earth. And He speaks to Noah and He says, Noah, make thee an ark. The word ark here, we know, means vessel. But at the same time, in the original language, it means box. Ark or box. And so the Lord starts to speak to Noah and He says, Noah, I want you to make a box. Noah, I want you to make an ark. And keep in mind, this was a job. This was a work that wasn't common. I got to thinking about Noah and God's commission to Noah. Noah, make thee an ark. The things that Noah must have been thinking about. And this is just what I came up with. Well, yes, Lord, but what is it? How do I start? Lord, how is this to take place? What's the purpose of it? This morning, as I was thinking about these verses and thinking about this first point, that the work that Noah was undergoing, it was a work that wasn't common, and Noah must have asked questions to God about this work, although it's not so much recorded in Scripture, it's just my speculation. I began to think about us as individuals. Noah must have felt, Lord, what's the purpose of this ark? Lord, I've never heard of an ark. What's the purpose? What's the use? Why me? God, am I in your will? Lord, am I really hearing you? This is so uncommon. I think about us at times that God is leading our way in life and He's directing our steps, but then the uncommon happens. What's this, Lord? What's the purpose of this in my life, Lord? And God told Noah, make thee an ark. But let me ask a question this morning. What has God providentially ushered into your life? What is it this morning that you're dealing with that, well, this is your first time in this area? This is your first experience with such a situation. You've never been this way before. Lord, what's the purpose? Many times in Scripture, you'll find those who God had a big plan for. God has a big plan for a big plan because it's a big God. God has a plan for everybody. But many times in Scripture, you'll find that God applies and commissions those to tasks that they've never done before. Keep in mind that this was a preservant, the ark, to preserve man. And God was using Noah and getting ready to use him mightily, but he had to trust God with the uncommon plan. What is it in your life that you're undergoing? You've never been there before. You do not know how to handle it. You feel like that you're in preschool in God's economy and you're just being taught the things of God. It feels as though you know nothing about God because of this current situation. Sometimes in life we find our place right in the middle of the uncommon. The Lord said to Noah, Noah, make thee an ark. Now we have recorded in Scripture, even in Hebrews, I said Hebrews 6, I think a moment ago, but Hebrews 11, 6. We have recorded that Noah, by faith, and he pursued this call, and he was committed to this call. He trusted God with it. Many times in our life, God will direct our steps to paths, uncertain paths that we've never been down before. I think of another example. We're staying with Noah this morning, but I think of another example of a widow lady and a creditor. Turn to 2 Kings 4 if you would. And keep in mind, our first point is dealing with a work that wasn't common. 2 Kings chapter number 4. God wanted Noah to make an ark. What's the purpose, Lord? When's it supposed to be done? What's my guideline? Uncommon. But there's a widow lady in 2 Kings 4 that also experienced an uncommon situation, to her at least. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. Notice verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And so in verse number 1, we have a woman here who has lost her husband, has her two sons, but now the creditor is coming. And the creditor is coming to collect what the husband owed. Now, there's plenty of indication in verse number 1 that in verse number 2 in the story that her husband wasn't a negligent spender, nothing along those lines, but he was enlisted in the school of the prophets, and probably everything he made he dumped back into the ministry. But there was a balance due. And now the woman is afraid that her two sons are going to be taken away by the creditor to be slaves for 7 years. New situation, no husband to lean on. The kids may be taken away. What do I do? Listen, this morning I'm talking about that there is times in life that we experience uncommon things and scenarios. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me." Notice his question. What hast thou in the house? This woman, her mind is all caught up upon her problem. And the man of God is moving her attention from the problem to a potential solution to the problem. And so he asked her. She's in an uncommon situation to her. This is the first time she's lost her husband. Her two sons may be gone due to the creditors. Verse 2, "And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And so he's moving her attention away from the problem and onto a possible solution. And again, I'm reading in between the text and I'm thinking, well, what was she thinking? I mean, we have what she put, what the scriptures have for us, but she must have been thinking many things, but she was obedient. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And so Elijah moved her attention from the problem to the solution. She thought she had nothing left, but there was still something left. There was still something in the house. There was still something to work with. And the Bible says in verse number 3, "Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors and empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Look at verse 4. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." And so now the story is progressing. She has a pot of oil left. Her mind wasn't even on what she had left. Her mind was on the problem, and Elijah moved her attention to what she had left. She had a pot of oil left. And so now Elijah says this. He says, "I want you to go to the neighbors and borrow many vessels. And I want you to bring the vessels back," in verse 4, "and shut the door on the world. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." To make a long story short, if she was to follow the steps of this man of God, having the words of God, she would pour and fill all of those vessels and have money to pay off to the creditors as she sold the full vessels. Here's the thing I want us all to recognize this morning. Number one, she was on foreign grounds. Never been this way before. She asked the man of God what to do. He said, "What do you have at home?" She thought she had nothing left, but there was still a work. She still had something to work with. And then in verse number four, she was instructed to shut the door after she borrowed the vessels and to pour out. And the Bible says that she poured out to those vessels and they were full. And that's how she made her living after she paid the debt. But this is what I want all of us to get, because the main title this morning is A Work Worthwhile. This lady was in foreign grounds, and all she had was a little pot of oil. And in verse number five, notice with me, 2 Kings 4, verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. That's an indicator, not only now, but previously when she went to borrow the vessels. These were indicators that she was, by faith, trusting what the men of God said. This morning, what I'm trying to say out of this example story is that we all have a little that God is working on. We all have something at home or in our lives that God is working with and wants to work with. This lady here, she was in an unknown territory. She was on foreign grounds, but she followed the instructions of the man of God. And in verse 5, she poured out what she had. I'm trying to say this morning. Sometimes you have to just pour it out. Pour it out. You're at a place you've never been? Shut the door and pour it out. There's uncertainty in your heart and there's doubts and fears. Tell it to Jesus. Close the door on the world. Close. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes there's some relationships that we have to close the door on in order to pour out what's in our heart. And sometimes there's voices that we have to quieten. Sometimes it's a person. Sometimes it's a place. Sometimes it's things. But nonetheless, she shut the door and she poured it out. I want to ask a question to all of us this morning. What's stopping us from pouring out our complaint before the Lord? What's stopping us from totally pouring out our soul concerning the situation we're in before the Lord? There's healing to be found this morning. There's refuge to be found this morning in Jesus. But this lady, she poured out what she had. Her mind was on the problem, and Elisha brought her to the solution. And the solution was, what do you have? He said, pour it out. What do you have left this morning? Are you in a situation that's over your head? Do you feel like you're left and abandoned? Tell it to Jesus. Pour it out. That's what he's wanting you to know this morning. Something else in this story, and we'll get back to Noah. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass, When the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. We know that oil in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the text in chapter number 4 indicates that as, in the entirety of the scriptures there, indicates as she was pouring, the vessels were being filled. And as the vessels, as she had empty vessels, there was oil enough to fill those vessels as she was pouring. But when there were no more empty vessels, there were no more vessels to be filled, and the oil stayed. If we want the oil of the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives, and we want God to move in our lives day in and day out, we have got to stay empty. We have got to present an empty vessel, because we know the scriptures say in verse number 6, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. We know that we have to have an empty vessel in order to be filled for God to do the miraculous. And back to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 6. We have Noah here, and verse 14, the Bible says, make thee an ark. Make thee an ark. This was a work that was uncommon. It was an uncommon work. Noah must have felt like, Lord, what's the purpose in this? I know you're going to destroy the earth, but what's an ark? Tell me, Lord, is it going to end well? What about you this morning? Are you there? Are you experiencing a work that's not that common to you? Are you undergoing the ground or some fields in your life that's foreign to you? See, a work that wasn't common when it came to Noah. Number two, I want you to notice, not only we see a work that wasn't common when it came to Noah and the work that he underwent, but we see a work that was complex. A work that was complex. Now, this work that Noah partook in, it was a very complex work. It wasn't just one or two things he had to do and the ark was complete. I want you to notice in verse number 14, God starts off with the blueprints, and the blueprints has to do with supplies. Look what he says in verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. The thought occurred to me, well, okay, Lord, what's gopher wood? Okay, Lord, you want me to make an ark? Whatever that is. And I fully don't know what's all involved, and I fully don't know the length of time and all the ins and the outs, but okay, Lord. But now he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Okay, Lord, what's gopher wood? Does that mean I'm to go for wood? God hasn't called me to be a comedian. He's called me to preach, by the way. You may get a little bit of laughter here and there about once every 2 years, but that's about go for wood. Okay, Lord. But you know what? That's exactly what he was supposed to do. Noah was to go for wood. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Okay, Lord, what's gopher wood? I'll tell it to you when you find it. Listen, there's times in life when we are in unfamiliar territory, uncharted waters by us. We've never been this way before. We don't know what's happened, but we know that God is faithful and God is true and God is just. And listen, many times it's complex. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say, okay, 1 + 1 = 2 in God's economy. But I can't say that. We know that God is faithful. We know He'll meet our needs. And in the life of Noah, he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Noah, I'll tell you what gopher wood is. When you go for the wood and you run right into the tree I want you to cut down, I'll say, that's it. How many times in life is that us when we're in uncharted waters? We've never been here before. We're relying on God. But is not God faithful that when we find where we're supposed to be, when the solution is on time and it comes, we know it. We know it. He told Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. But then look at this. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. You shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. And the breadth of it 50 cubits. And the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. He begins to lay out the blueprints, and it's very complex. He said, make an ark of gopher wood, and now gopher wood's on his mind. And now it's rooms shalt thou make in the ark. So he's thinking about rooms and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, that sealant like tar that seals all the cracks and all of the possible entry zones of water. Listen, Noah step by step is experiencing a sight of God he never has before. I don't know if Noah knew what gopher wood was. I don't know if Noah knew what pitch was. But there's one thing about it. When he went after it, he knew what it was. And in life, when we experience those troubled waters, we've never been somewhere before. Listen, we will experience God. And whenever he wants us to be refreshed, we'll be refreshed. We'll experience it. We'll receive provision whenever he wants us to receive provision. Listen, the life vest to save us at times will be there right on time. The provisions of God will always be there. We may not know how it's going to be done. We may not know exactly in 10 steps from start to finish how it will be done or completed. But Noah didn't. Noah had a general blueprint. So he talks about in verse number 14, the rooms and the pitch. And he gives the measurements in verse 15. If he didn't know how to measure, he's now in measuring school. Let me ask you a question, church. How long has it taken you in your Christian life to learn about the Lord what you've learned? Has it happened overnight? No. I'll tell you how it's happened. It's happened by you reading that book and then God allowing you to walk the book. It's by you reading that book and praying to God and then God laying out a test or a trial right before you. And how you walk in His Word and you trust His Word and then He allows you to know that He is Jehovah Jireh. Listen, there is no other way for you to know that God is Jehovah Jireh until there's a need that must be met. Abraham offered up Isaac for a sacrifice. Abraham was full aware of the covenant that God made with him and that it was through Isaac that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham, in complete obedience, was going down with the dagger. And then God had a sacrifice behind him, a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. Listen, He was Jehovah Jireh. He was the God that was on time. He was the God that provided. And this morning I want to say to all of us, we are in a fight that's worth fighting for, serving Jesus, living for Him. He always has provisions. He always maintains His stature. He always provides. We may not know when He's going to provide. We may not know how He's going to provide. We may not know what He's going to provide. We just know this morning that the Lord provides. The Lord provides. Let us be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Work worthwhile. It was a work that was complex. That's the supplies. Look down, if you would, in verse number 19. I kind of put a little show on last night at the house, an animal show. Look at verse number 19. Second set of instructions. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Now we're the animal wrangler. As if finding out what gopher wood wasn't enough in this experience. Now the Lord says, Noah, I want you to go out there and round up two of every kind of creature. This is just me thinking, and this is what I did last night. I said, Christy, I said, how in the world was Noah supposed to do that? Come here, alligator. You know? Ducks. Come on, ants, come on. Come on. How? Did you know all God wants from us is obedience? And we'll discover the how? I don't know how. Listen, verse 19, and of every living thing, of all flesh, too, of every sort. But not only that, but you got to go get what they eat and bring it in. How do I do that? Let me say this. I've been pastoring and been in the ministry for a while now, and I'm still saying, Lord, how do I do it? Lord, how do I handle this situation? And listen, God didn't tell me how the morning I went down at Florida Road Baptist Church and said, yes, Lord, I surrender my call to preach. God did not have a list that said, okay, Justin, you're going to accept your first church then. And then right when you accept the first church, there's going to be all these problems to deal with. And you got to handle that one the right way, that one the right way, that one the right way, that one the right way. You got to reach out and bring this family member in to get the full story. Oh, he didn't tell me that. But along with that, he didn't say in that list, this imaginary list, that, and when you do accept, guess what? Along the way of the burdens, there's going to be a lot of blessings. I'm going to come through for you, and you're going to know me as Jehovah Jireh. You're going to know me as provider. Of course, his word promises that he'll meet every need, but yet being fleshed out, I haven't been there yet. I haven't experienced that yet at that particular time. I want to say that I've got a long way to go in ministry, but to this particular point, God has proven himself faithful. And I can look back across the years in our ministry, how that we took things as they came. We did the very best we can do. We allowed the Scripture to be the final authority when it comes to church problems. We are not politics. We don't take sides. We lay down the Bible. We did that from the very beginning. And God bless, that is his blueprint for ministry and for life, is the Word of God. Put the problem in the basket and put the Word of God next to it. That's how you solve church problems. But there wasn't no instruction. And for you, what you're going through, when you got the news or wherever you're at in your life, there was no instructions. All he said was, son, daughter, make thee an ark of gopher wood. So it's a very complex thing. This is a complex work, but keep in mind, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. This is a work worthwhile. Noah's seen that. And it was a work that wasn't common, new area. It was a work that was complex and involved so many different things, so many ins and outs. But then number three, it was a work that was continuing. Notice in chapter 6 of Genesis, but look in verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Many times we associate the completion of the ark with 120 years, but I would say 120 years or less that ark was complete. And we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but I dare say that Noah started preaching when the work of the ark started. He preached before, I'm sure. And so 120 years or under was the completion of the ark. This was a work that was continuing. Listen, God did not nor wanted that ark to be complete on day 2. Verse 14, make thee an ark. Was not to be completed on day 2. Why is that? Not only we know that God was giving man opportunity to repent and listen to the message and enter the ark before the flood came, but also this was a complex plan. Unfamiliar territory. Lots of things, supplies and animals were involved in this. This wasn't to be completed overnight. And what you're going through today, listen, what you're going through, God wants you to grab a hold of some things during this time. It's not going to be completed overnight. Some things, yes, but many times when God is doing a great work, He doesn't intend for the completion of it to be overnight. What does God want us to know in these choppy waters? What is God wanting us to see in these waters that we've never been? Noah was to make this ark, and he was to gather the pieces, and then the appropriate time, the animals, and then the measuring was involved. And listen, I can't even begin to think what happened on day one. He probably found a rock somewhere and sat down and thought about it. And some of you are here, and you're experiencing some things in your life, and you're going in a direction you've never gone in before. But listen, give God time. He's wanting to show you some things. He's wanting to show you He's provider. He's wanting to show you He's the one that sustains all things, and He can turn things in a moment's notice if He has to on your behalf. It's going to take some time. I want to say something else, that the ongoing ministry of Calvary is going to take some time. It's not to be accomplished overnight, nor do I want it accomplished overnight. And I doubt very seriously it will ever be fully accomplished, because our race is done when we're in heaven. But the work of Calvary isn't going to be done overnight. Every person in this place matters. Every visitor that comes to our church matters. Every ministry matters. We were out yesterday, VBS Outreach, and the bottle of water mattered because it meant something to the people that were thirsty. The invitation mattered. The print on the invitation mattered. How it was worded, what was said, to make sure the times were right. All that mattered. And it mattered how we approached people. And it mattered how we responded to people when they said, no, no thanks, not interested. I mean, I tell you what my flesh wanted to do. I said it several times to a couple people. But I understood. Everything matters in ministry. Everything matters here. The ins, the outs, all the services. Listen, it's not going to be done over time. And if we have a heart to continue to serve here, let's just all come together in unity, and we are, and keep serving. But let's allow things that matter to others matter to us in this ministry. If there's a ministry you're doing and it matters to you, it matters to me. If there's something I'm doing, I want it to matter to you. If these on this aisle, they got something they're doing in the church, I want it to matter to this aisle, and vice versa. Listen, it matters. Everything matters. The thing that we're involved with, serving Jesus, is much bigger than we could ever imagine. And when it came to Noah, everything mattered. It wasn't to be done over time. It was to be done delicately and gradually. Measured out, made sure of, second guessed, and made sure you're right about it. But then there's a fourth thing, and I'll be through. When it comes to a work worthwhile, it was a work that wasn't common. It was a work that was complex. It was a work that was continuing. But then lastly, it was a work that was concealed. And what I mean by concealed was Noah. Many days, we really don't have a lot of indication who served and the help he had outside of his family being there in the ark at the end. But Noah mainly served alone, for what we have that's indicated. Noah not only worked on the ark when he was at home, when he was at work, and many times it was alone. But when Noah went home, his work also came home with him on his mind and on his heart. You'll find, going through situations unfamiliar, that you carry your work home with you. You carry that trial home with you. It's not only at work when you're working and trying to be responsible, but when you go home and try to go to bed, it's there. It was a work that was concealed. Noah mainly served alone. I want to say this, that we need to be careful about being alone when we're going through the thick of things. Many times you'll find that when people in the Bible were alone while going through things, they ended up failing. And one of the prime stories is David, when he stayed home from battle. There was a time when he stayed home from battle when The kings went forth to battle, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And this is what I want to say as they come around with a verse of invitation. That because whatever David's motive was, maybe it was rest, maybe it was just a time to himself to gather his thoughts. I do know this. Kings went forth to battle and he didn't go. He stayed at home and he went upon his rooftop and he looked, saw Bathsheba. He lingered and he lusted. He looked, he lingered, and he lusted. He called for, you know the story, put her husband, Uriah, in the hottest of battles. He died, now it's murder. Bathsheba produced a kid. God required of that child his life. The sword never left David's house. Listen, all of those things happened because David was alone. I want to end the message on this note, that we have to be careful when we serve the Lord and we're going through times where we're alone and we're by ourselves. I was talking with someone the other day and I said, God has blessed us tremendously, far above what we deserve. God has met all of our needs, I said, but sometimes Mondays is the hardest day for me spiritually. Because it seems like when I'm by myself, when I'm getting my day going and getting my schedule for the week worked out, it seems like that, and to be quite honest with you, sometimes it's a cloud of discouragement. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. It's not a physical thing. It's not a financial. It's a spiritual thing. Because, see, if you're not careful and you don't stay guarded while alone, you can experience satanic attack like you never have before. And the devil likes to show himself in many different ways. So this morning, we see that this was a work that was concealed. I'm sure Noah primarily was alone, brought his work home with him. And because of that, it was a lonely road. Sometimes serving God's a lonely road. But there's reward at the end of the lonely road. And that is the assurance of heaven. When we get to heaven, there's reward or loss of reward. But also while we're here, God has a way of showing himself mighty, showing himself strong. And that's reward within itself. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. I ask that you bless the invitation, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that if there's someone here that needs to come, Lord, you let them come and do business with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you come.